Chapter 48 Dea Ex Machina. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns, about the happy yard and singing as the farm was home, in the sun that is young once only. Dylan Thomas, Fern Hill. When Lucy woke, the room was already light. The curtains were not drawn, and the pane of the open casement reflected a gleam of sun which she could lose and find by moving her head on the pillow. A wood pigeon was calling in the elms. But it was some other sound, she knew, that had woken her. A sharp sound, a part of the dream which had drained away as she woke, like water out of a wash basin. Perhaps the dog had barked. But now everything was quiet, and there was only the flash of sun from the window pane and the sound of the wood pigeon, like the first strokes of a paintbrush on a big sheet of paper, when you were still not sure how the picture was going to go. The morning was fine. Would there be any mushrooms yet? Was it worth getting up now and going down the field to see? It was still too dry and hot, not good mushroom weather. The mushrooms were like the blackberries. Both wanted a drop of rain before they'd be any good. Soon there'd be damp mornings, and the big spiders would come in the hedges, the ones with a white cross on their backs. Jane Pocock running off to the back of the school bus when she brought one in a matchbox to show Miss Talent. Spider, spider on the bus, soppy Jane that made a fuss, spider got the 11+. Now she couldn't catch the reflection in her eyes anymore. The sun had moved. What was going to happen today? Thursday. Market day. In Newbury. Dad would be going in. Doctor was coming to see Mum. Doctor had funny glasses that pinched on his nose. They'd made a mark each side. If he wasn't in a hurry, he'd talk to her. Doctor was a bit funny-like when you didn't know him. But when you did, he was nice. Suddenly, there was another sharp sound. It ripped through the still, early morning like something spilled across a clean floor. A squealing. Something frightened. Something desperate. Lucy jumped out of bed and ran across to the window. Whatever it was only just outside. She leaned well out, with her feet off the floor and the sill pressing breathlessly across her stomach. Tab was down below, right by the kennel. He'd got something. Rat, it must be, squealing like that. Tab! Called Lucy sharply. Tab, what you got? At the sound of her voice, the cat looked up for a moment and immediately looked back again at its prey. 'Twarn't no rat, though. 'Twas a rabbit, laying on its side by the kennel. It looked proper bad, kicking out and all. Then it squealed again. Lucy ran down the stairs in her nightdress and opened the door. The gravel made her hobble, and she left it and went on up the flower bed. As she reached the kennel, the cat looked up and spat at her, keeping one paw pressed down on the rabbit's neck. "Get out, Tab," said Lucy. "Cruel thing, let it alone." She cuffed the cat, which tried to scratch her, ears laid flat. She raised her hand again, and it growled, ran a few feet, and stopped, looking back in sulky rage. Lucy picked up the rabbit. It struggled a moment, and then held itself tense in her firm grip. "Hold still," said Lucy. "I ain't going to hurt you." She went back to the house, carrying the rabbit. "What you been up to, eh?" said her father, boots scratch, scratch over the tiles. "Look at your feet, and I told you I'd go there then." "Rabbit," said Lucy defensively. "In your nightdress and all, catch your bloomin' death. What one with them, man?"
"Gonna keep him."
"You ain't."
"Ah, Dad, he's nice."
"He won't be no bloomin' good, sir. You put him in hot, you'll only die. You can't keep wild rabbit. And if he gets out, he'll do all manner of bloomin' harm."
"But he's bad, Dad. Cat's been at him."
"Cat was doing his job, then. They'd ought to have let him finish, be rights."
"I want to show him to doctor."
Doctor's got something better to do than bide about wee old rabbit. You just give him here now.
Lucy began to cry. She had not lived all her life on a farm for nothing, and she knew very well that everything her father had said was right. But she was upset by the idea of killing the rabbit in cold blood. True, she did not really know what she could do with it in the long run. What she wanted was to show it to Doctor. She knew that Doctor thought of her as a proper farm girl, a country girl. When she showed him things she had found, a goldfinch's egg, a painted lady fluttering in a jam jar, or a fungus that looked exactly like orange peel, he took her seriously and talked to her as he would to a grown-up person. To ask his advice about a damaged rabbit and discuss it with him would be very grown-up. Meanwhile, her father might give way, or he might not.
"I only just wanted to show him to Doctor, Dad. I won't let him do no harm, honest. Only it's nice talking to Doctor."
Although he never said so, her father was proud of the way Lucy got on with Doctor. She was proper bright kid, very likely going to grammar school and all, so they told him. Doctor had said once or twice she was real sensible with these things she picked up what she showed him. Coming to something, though, bloody rabbits. All same, wouldn't hurt long as she didn't let him go on the place. "Why don't you do something sensible?" he said. "Instead of biding there, hollering and carrying on like you was skimmish. You want to go and get some clothes on, then you can go and put them in that old cage what's in shed. When would you add for they budgies?" Lucy stopped crying and went upstairs, still carrying the rabbit. She shut it in a drawer, got dressed, and went out to get the cage. On the way back, she stopped for some straw from behind the kennel. Her father came across from the long barn.
"Did you see Bob?"
"Never," said Lucy. "Where's he gone, then?"
"Bust his roping off. I know that old rope we're getting on like, but I didn't reckon he could bust him. Anyways, I got going to Newbury's morning. If he turns up again, you best tie him up proper."
"I'll look out for him, Dad," said Lucy. "I'll get B.O. breakfast up to Mum now."
"Ah, that's good girl. I reckon she'll be right so trivet tomorrow."
Dr. Adams arrived soon after 10. Lucy, who was making her bed and tidying her room later than she should have been, heard him stop his car under the elms at the top of the lane and went out to meet him, wondering why he had not driven up to the house as usual. He had got out of the car and was standing with his hands behind his back, looking down the lane. But he caught sight of her and called in the rather shy, abrupt way she was used to.
Lucy?
She ran up. He took off his pince-nez and put them in his waistcoat pocket.
"Is that your dog?"
The Labrador was coming up the lane, looking decidedly tired and trailing its broken rope. Lucy laid hold of it.
"He's been off, Doctor. Been ever so worried about him."
The Labrador began to sniff at Dr. Adams' shoes.
"Something's been fighting with him, I think," said Dr. Adams. "His nose is scratched quite badly, and there looks like some kind of a bite on his leg. What do you reckon 'twas then, Doctor?"
"Well, it might have been a big rat, I suppose, or perhaps a stoat. Something he went for that put up a fight."
"I got a rabbit this morning, Doctor. Wild one. He's alive. I took him off of the cat, only I reckon he's hurt. Do you like see him?"
"Well, I better go and see Mrs. Kane first, I think."
"Not your mother," thought Lucy.
"And then if I've got time, I'll have a look at the chap."
20 minutes later, Lucy was holding the rabbit as quiet as she could, while Dr. Adams pressed it gently here and there with the balls of two fingers.
"Well, there doesn't seem to be much the matter with him, as far as I can see," he said at last. "Nothing's broken. There's something funny about his hind leg, but that's been done some time and it's more or less healed, or as much as it ever will. The cat scratched him across here, you see, but that's nothing much. I should think it'd be all right for a bit."
"No good to keep him, though, Doctor, would it? In Hutch, I mean."
"Oh, no, he wouldn't live shut up in a box. If he couldn't get out, he'd soon die. No, I should let the poor chap go. Does he want to eat him?"
Lucy laughed.
"Don't Dad'd be ever so wild, though, if I was to let him go anywheres round here. He always says one rabbit means 101.
Well, I'll tell you what, said Dr. Adams, taking his thin fob watch on the fingers of one hand and looking down at it as he held it at arm's length, for he was long-sighted. I've got to go a few miles up the road to see an old lady at Cole Henley. If you like to come along in the car, you can let him go on the down and I'll bring you back before dinner.
Lucy skipped. I'll just go and ask Mum.
On the ridge between Harewarren Down and Watership Down, Dr. Adams stopped the car.
I should think this would be as good as anywhere, he said. There's not a lot of harm you can do here, if you come to think about it.
They walked a short distance eastward from the road, and Lucy set the rabbit down. It sat, stupefied, for nearly half a minute, and then suddenly dashed away over the grass.
Yes, he has got something the matter with that leg, you see, said Dr. Adams. But he could perfectly well live for years, as far as that goes. Born and bred in a briar patch. Brer Fox.